Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we have some special mini alarms for you. Just, you know, things that are keeping us up at night, keeping us alarmed, keeping us awake, keeping us safe. Am I right? With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
And fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
It's nice and to the point. We are ready to go, aren't we, boys?
Sure are.
We are. I mean, just want to mention before we get started that Rebecca and I are trying out a new recording setup today. We've moved from in our garage office, we have a round table where we usually sit across from each other. We've moved over to a desk where I'm sort of sitting perpendicular to the desk, mm-hmm. sort of at the desk's edge. And she's sitting where a normal desk sitter would sit if somebody wants to picture that. So I feel a couple of feelings I have just right off the bat. Feel very much subordinate in a subordinate position, which is maybe, I mean, good for the podcast.
Part of the design, Rebecca?
Was that part of the design?
Now that you say it, perhaps subconsciously, perhaps.
Okay. Yeah, well, I feel less respected, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm just saying, silver lining, maybe that'll make me want to do better in terms of fact checking.
I'm just the producer, but I get my own room entirely to myself, Chris. So I don't know how that makes you feel more or less respected, but it is my own room. It's temperature controlled. It's cozy.
That sounds nice.
The light is good.
That sounds really, really nice. And I definitely feel even less. I feel way more supported to you. But again, I think that's fine for, my position here, which is fact checker. I got to go and I'm basically like an intern is sort of sticking around, really,
who
can't find work elsewhere, basically.
That's true. So And for the record, no one cares about this, but I'm not looking straight at Chris, straight into Chris's eyes right now.
Right.
I'm just looking at a wall.
Right.
And it's nice.
Yeah. We should get you a good poster for that wall. What do you want to look at?
That gets to our relationship even more so in this dynamic, is that I'm spending my entire time looking right at her. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't even given me a glance.
No, she's looking at the big picture. I sort of hear you. So let's get started with these mini alarms. And I'm so excited to hear what is keeping the two of you up at night. And I was thinking, you know, is any of one of you want to go first? I, of course, did two. I told everyone to do one, and I knew exactly what I wanted. And then in my process for finding information about that one, I found another one that started alarming me as well. So, you know, double pronged.
Well, it occurs to me before we get started and all that, that it might be interesting because if we can make a competition out of this, right? So whoever's alarm carries over to the next episode, and whoever's alarm started alarming others, maybe that is the sort of winner of the alarm, of the mini alarm contest.
We'll take a poll.
Listeners comment on what's alarming you the most.
Oh yeah, I was just thinking alarm ourselves, but yeah, the alarmy could chime in as well.
We'll do a poll once this comes out, and you can sign on to our Alarmist Instagram, which is at The Alarmist Podcast, and you can sign on to our Twitter at Alarmist The, and take a poll and let us know which one of us alarmed you the most.
Okay. That's fun. That'll add a little, just give us just a little competitive more edge. Energy.
Yeah.
Here.
So why don't we start with Clayton?
Okay.
And his mini alarm. Hit us.
All right, new guy.
It's a mini alarm. Yeah, this is my first, so no pressure. It's a mini alarm that kind of focuses around a very big issue, literally the big one, as they refer to it here in California, which is an absolutely definitely going to happen massive earthquake along the San Andreas Fault.
Yes.
And just to give you, I'm going to give you some context here because many people know that, or perhaps know that the LAS did this whole series, a podcast about the big one and how you're supposed to be prepared and what happens during, before, and after.
Highly recommend.
Yes.
But, you know, they're saying the big one is defined as a 7.8 magnitude or higher earthquake. And just to give you some reference, Northridge, which was the last, like, pretty large one, was 6.7 and lasted for about 20 seconds. And the big one is actually going to be of higher magnitude, and it's going to last a lot longer than the Northridge, just for some context. And I guess the reason why I've been alarmed, and it comes up to me in very specific moments, it's not all the time. It's more like when I'm driving under a bridge or I'm in an elevator, stuff where I'm just like, what if it happened now? Here I am. My mini alarm is you hear so much about how you need to be prepared for the big one. And for me, my problem is there's so much out of your control. You know, it just feels like, for example, in this article that the LAS, they're saying, you know, when the earthquake starts, you're supposed to stop, drop, take cover, and hold on. And then right after, they say, and then when it's over, like, text as many people as you can, because cell phone towers have 4 hours of battery generally. And don't call 911 because they'll be inundated. Just text your friends. If you're trapped, here's where I am. Text them.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
The assumption.
I feel like I should be writing this down.
Yes. We're going to start a list for Chris of things he should be worried about just on a day-to-day basis. But go on, Clay.
The thing that stresses me out is that's a huge assumption that you have, in the chaos of a huge earthquake, grabbed your cell phone while you were stop, dropping, and rolling, right?
Yeah.
And there's also a big assumption, you know, we're supposed to have so much food and so much water and things on hand to last you for like a week or two. To me, it's like, my concern is when it comes, if I'm still around, where am I? And like, will the effort of getting all that food and water stuff ready, will I even be able to access it? And if I can, is it even still good? Because you have to, those things expire and you're supposed to replace it. And it's like, I hate, this is a thing about me. I hate wasting food. I hate wasting things. Like I always want to use everything. And it kind of kills me to think that I would just like go out, you know, you can buy these kits and then just like have to throw it away in 2 years. And would I remember to throw it away?
No.
So that's it. It's like, the big one is coming. I'm not stressed about the big one. It just is what it is. Like, it's inevitable. It's more like, am I going to be lucky enough to be like in a good place when it happens? And there's really no
right.
way of controlling that.
Nope. And that's a good point. You know, you might not have access to your backpack of goods
right?
or your flashlight. You know, it could just happen that you're in your car and very far from your house.
That to me would actually be pretty great. If I were in my car, I would feel, and you know, depending on as long as I'm not under a bridge, I would feel like, okay, like this, my windows might break from shaking, but like the car's not going to collapse on me.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, do you guys have a generator?
No, we have solar. We did solar, but I mean, that'll just break right away. Right.
But you guys didn't opt into the, battery, like the solar battery, right? No, because the solar is connected to the sort of power grid.
Yes.
So do you have a generator, Chris?
No, but I mean, it just occurred to me that I bet you like,
okay.
We have some propane.
Exactly.
We have a grill outside.
Yeah, we can huddle around the grill. But it just occurred to me that in terms of preparedness, and there are people who dedicate their lives to this,
sure.
but besides the sort of perishable goods, which is I think Clayton's talking about there, I was also just thinking, what if you have like 10% battery life on your phone?
Right.
Well, that's...
And then your power goes out, and then that's where a generator would be extremely useful.
Right. Well, I mean, that's why you always have to have your devices charged.
Strapped to it. Right. It's like, are we going to live a life where I don't want to always feel like I have to have my phone strapped to me because I might die if I don't, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that seems like not a fun way to live, but it is usually close by.
But you know what? Now, I just justified getting an Apple Watch.
Well, you guys both have Apple Watches.
Yes.
So
that's a phone connected right to you at all times.
It's, you know what I took away, this might be so weird, but what I took away from that podcast, the big ones, I was so scared of being far away in my car and roads being broken.
Mm.
My main takeaway was always have sneakers in your trunk.
Comfy shoes for traversing the debris.
Yeah. And I feel like as a woman, you don't think about your shoes.
Specific, yeah.
That much and how comfortable they might be. Cause you know, you might be just like going to a restaurant and you don't need your,
you know,
super comfortable shoes. But if I had to walk miles and miles in my, I don't know, heels.
Manola Blancs.
yeah, right.
Like, that's what she uses every day. She's recording them right now.
I was going to say like, if I had to, you know, walk miles and miles in my like comfortable wedges that's my fancy.
You used to have shoes that were tougher to walk in, but now these days comfort is key.
Well, it's all about earthquakes. I think that's something we should all be scared about. Pretty high up in the mini alarm scale.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tough to beat with our listeners. I think especially if they're in the West Coast.
Yeah, it's true. It's area specific, although they happen all over the place. But
that should scare you even more.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
Is your building ready for an earthquake? Probably not. If you're not in, you know, the West Coast. So you know, think about that while you go to sleep tonight.
Sorry about it.
So, Chris, hit us with your mini alarm.
Well, I just realized that I'm definitely going to lose this I'm reading over what my mini alarm is. Because I came up with something that was really specific to me and very sort of seemingly trivial compared to Clayton's, but not so. And I'm just going to say it. Okay, so I read an article in the Times, curtains up how Broadway is coming back from its longest shutdown. And so tonight, I believe, which we're recording this on the 14th or 15th.
It is the 15th.
On the 15th. So it was either tonight or last night that a bunch of Broadway shows reopened. I think four major Broadway shows reopened. I think The Lion King and the Sarah Bareilles one, Waitress.
Oh, Waitress, yeah.
And so everyone's really nervous because, you know, it's like pandemic style theater going, right? Uh-huh. Where it's like there's testing, and I think that you might need to be able to provide vaccination or a recent test, negative test or something like that. But my sort of little alarm sort of extends beyond that and gets a little bit more sort of like not philosophical, but just sort of, I don't know, it's generalized in terms of when you think about entertainment and you think about the ways that we've sort of adapted over the past year and a half to this pandemic by entertaining ourselves or finding entertainment, so call it online or sort of the rise of TikTok and also podcasts, streaming services, and then also all these theaters shutting down, these movie theaters shutting down, and sort of Disney moving its releases on to sort of Disney Plus, where you can just stay at home. It occurs to me that people will suddenly feel like there's no reason to leave the house and put a sort of lower value on live performance, which was already on sort of shaky grounds. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why would you go see a live show? It's just so hard, especially, I mean, we don't have kids, but for people with kids, they have to get a babysitter. It costs a lot of money. Live theater is expensive. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like a big ask for people. And now with a pandemic, I'm nervous that nobody's going to want to come see live theater. And it's, to me, it's important. It's important for a lot of reasons, cultural reasons, but also societal reasons of just us being needing sort of to be in close proximity to other human beings. You know what I mean? And not just in a sort of going out to dinner or whatever sort of context, but in storytelling context and that kind of thing.
And in sharing your craft, right, Chris?
Well, it's so important for me to be able to. Well, no, but this, I mean, you could definitely, I'm concerned because, I mean, put it this way. We, the three of us, were in a sketch comedy group for our entire 20s, for a whole decade. And we perform every Saturday night, roughly, right? Mm-hmm. And it was huge for us. Like, how many life experiences do we still sort of recall about how wonderful that time in our lives was? And anyway, I know the value firsthand of sort of a community around theater.
So are you nervous that there are going to be like awkward people just because they're not going to be like leaving the house? Is this the concern?
The concern is that the value that we just see a decline in audiences going to see live stuff because people are just like, well, it's too expensive and I can just get it online and I can just it's been made so much easier to me. And also, I'm now risk averse because I've been through a pandemic and I think about risk differently. So as an audience member, like think about it from my own perspective, like I now make these decisions about going out to dinner or going out to large gatherings. And I sort of determine the risk and I'm like, well, what's the risk involved and what's the payoff for this risk? I just think about leaving the house differently. And yeah.
I wanted to respond to that because I think what's interesting about what you're saying early on when you were first describing this, you were saying like, what's the draw for people because of pandemic and because of everything being available online. And just in reference to like, you know, the shows that are back are like The Lion King and Waitress, these big shows. And then you're just talking about our little Harvard sailing team, sketch comedy troupe. It's like, you're right in that it is, everything is a risk assessment now. So what is the material that is going to be made if it is going to be made? Like, are all the little sketch comedy groups just going to fall away because people are like, I'm not going to go to a sketch comedy group. I'm going to go to the biggest Broadway production because that's the only thing that is has enough draw for me to take the risk. And then what does that do to material that might be really cool, but the audience is not interested because it's too niche or like too much of a risk.
Exactly. We're all going to turn into Minnie and Mickey Mouse. Is what's going to happen.
Wait, why?
Because it's just going to be Disney stuff, you know? It's just going to be like...
Blockbuster hits, which is already happening.
Exactly. We're going to turn into two camps, Disney or Star Wars. That, or, you know, like the Marvel universe.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... I mean, it's like the people who are going to Disney are the ones who do bring their kids, and then when they want an adult night, they go to Star Wars, or maybe bring their kids. You know what I mean? But it's like they're watching the same stuff.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, and you know, whatever you want to entertain yourself. Yeah,
I love all of those things. No judgment
is fine, but also I'm just saying, like like you were saying, Chris, the weirder stuff, the more niche, maybe the more independent films, independent theater, that might really fall by the wayside in a sad way,
or just find a different home. It would just be more. You just find that stuff online. More online or whatever, or you know,
on your podcast channels
or on TikTok or whatever. Weird comedians don't need to like go and have a house where they perform. They can just whatever. They could just make it and put it online, and there it is. But I just wanted to, because just to finish this thought, because the thinking was, I remember during the pandemic and everyone was like, you know what, when this thing's over, it's going to be like the roaring 20s. Like everyone's just going to come out of their buildings and, you know, we're going to go to lavish parties and it's just going to be like this huge boon. But like that didn't happen.
Nope. I'm not going to a party where I'm a champagne fountain or a chocolate fountain. I don't know why I assume.
And the main reason.
A fountain regardless.
Whatever it is, it's being squirted.
It's coming from a fountain and we're all sharing it, you know? I'm not going to that.
Not going to it. But it's like, and I blame the fact that we can't get behind these vaccinations and people just, and the vaccination hesitation and the anti-vaccine people and all that stuff, which is like just going to drag out this pandemic to the point where it's never going to be really feel like it had a proper ending.
If we don't get a chance at our roaring 20s,
yeah,
we're gonna blame that on the whoever didn't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes, I'm gonna blame that.
That'll be episode like 550,972. Like
I wanna go across the pond to Gatsby's house and rage people. Come on.
Big time. And I'm getting to
the point where I'm like, it's getting to the point where I'm gonna get too old to even have the energy to do that. So now while I still have the energy, someone throw a party.
Someone. Anyone.
A quarantine.
And we'll wear some really cute outfits.
Yes.
Wedges. Still comfortable in case there's an earthquake.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So that's my little alarm.
Okay.
Will live theater live on? I guess I would put it that way.
TBD, honestly. TBD. We're going to have to put a pin on that and see what happens. It's too close. Too soon to tell. Okay. Now I have to go into my little alarm. But before we do that, let's take a quick break.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So are you guys ready for what's coming?
Yes.
It's actually not as intense as you might think. Okay. It could be, but
we'll
maybe
see.
You do.
We'll see.
So for, I would say, the past few weeks, I have been on and off thinking about this couple who went on a hike in Northern California with the baby strapped to them and their dog, and they all died. Did you hear about this?
No. Yes, I did.
So this happened end of August, beginning of September. I'll read a little excerpt from the New York Times. So the couple had backpacked in the Himalayas, ridden camels through the Gobi Desert, and checked off Burning Man, even creating their own hashtag, an amalgamation of their first names, hashtag Jelen Adventures. So a day of hiking in the Sierra National Forest, even with the demanding switchbacks and triple-digit heat, would not have been unusual for Jonathan Garish and Ellen Chung, husband and wife transplants from San Francisco who had recently become parents to a little girl, Miju, during the coronavirus pandemic. But the trek would be the family's last. Search teams found all three of their bodies on August 17, one day after the family was reported missing not far from Yosemite National Park. The family's dog, Oski, an Aussie Akita mix, was also found dead. More than 2 weeks later, investigators are still confounded by what caused their deaths. Teams in hazmat suits had already combed the area for clues. On Saturday, the U.S. Forest Service closed trails and recreation sites near where the bodies were found. So, the you know, when this kind of stuff happens, my first instinct is like, okay, so he killed them. He killed
foul
the family.
Play.
Yeah. There's murder somewhere. But, you know, initial autopsies like provided no answers. It doesn't seem like there was foul play. Investigators said that there was no sign of trauma. And on August, so this is again, according to the New York Times, August 19th, the California State Water Resources Control Board, using a water quality reporting map on its website, warned the public to stay away from algae and scum in the water near the South Fork of the Merced River in the Sierra National Forest. An incident description said that the agency had received a report of a suspected illness in the area. The warning previously made reference to a fatality, but was changed to say illness. Do not let pets go in the water, drink the water, or eat scum on the shore. The warning said, keep children away from the algae. Do not eat shellfish from the water body. So they closed the park. The whole area has been shut down. And what they suspect is that perhaps they were experienced hikers and adventurers. And you know how people have sometimes like that water treatment stuff, like
yeah. Oh yes, like pills to make water drinkable and stuff.
Yeah, so, or
like point of source, like water filtration.
Exactly. So it's possible because it was so hot, they either ran out of water and they might have had some kind of system with them. And so they put the river water or whatever water they found through their own filtration system. All of them drank it, including the baby, including the dog. Ugh. And they think that's what happened.
Wow. Can they determine that from an autopsy? Are they going to doing tests on this? When was this?
My guess is still to be determined. I guess those things take a long time when they're, chemicals and when they have to do tests like that, when it's not like obvious trauma. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Is that a toxicology report?
Something like that. I guess they're still awaiting toxicology results. And I just can't stop thinking about them because they seem like people who first of all, it wasn't, they weren't like going on these like crazy dangerous hikes.
And they weren't amateurs, right?
They weren't amateurs too. So I'm just like, okay, well, I guess they were doing the right thing. They knew they needed to hydrate, you know, they had the equipment for it. And I guess poison is everywhere.
They trusted those filters or those pills. And I mean, if this is truly what happened, it's like we've got a lot of good technology that is intended to improve our lives and protect us. But sometimes that technology fails us, and or there are unforeseen side effects or consequences that you just can't prepare for until it happens.
And then this leads me to think about what you were talking about, Clayton. So like, let's say we are all prepared for the big one, right? We have all the generators or you know,
water, dog food,
water,
all the things.
Everything. You know, they say that one of the big things that could potentially happen is that the gas pipes and the water pipes get destroyed during the earthquake. So once that happens, the water then becomes compromised. So it's you have to boil your water.
Water sources could get compromised.
Yes. Yeah. So let's say you know, I'm just thinking of like these water sources that are either not coming out of your pipes, or if you do get your hands on them, are coming out, and you treat them, and then, well, end of story, you're dead anyway, even though you survived the big one. Guys, water.
It definitely makes you want to brush up on your survivalism techniques, but because I feel like there are ways to that just like sort of just not only like from primitive sort of studies, but also like Clayton was saying, there are technological kind of ways to that we could filter water, find fresh water, determine if water is potable, drinkable, whatever. But they're not just easily accessible. I think what you're alluding to, and this is something Clayton talks about a lot too, is that like it's just we're such a fine line from being.
I was literally just going to say,
say it, Clayton.
Yeah,
say
what is
it.
Your
I've said
Clayton
it.
Says this all the time.
I've said it on the podcast before, and to many of my poor friends who will listen at a party. But there is a very, very fine line between civility and absolute chaos. And it doesn't take much. We have set ourselves up. I mean, just think about it. Like, we have made ourselves so comfortable and so far removed from actual like tasks that are required to survive, that if we were thrust into an environment that we don't have those, that comfort and that convenience, like we don't, most of us are going to die. And that sounds like very crazy apocalyptic, like conspiracy theory, man in the woods. Like I'm going to like live like a person who knows how to chop wood and build a house. And
you don't.
No,
it
I'm not going to do that.
Inspired you.
No, I'm not. I mean, that's a really big dedication, but it just goes to, I think it's about keeping the awareness, because like if you're in a social situation and you start to see things go towards a tipping point, that's your cue to be like, it's going to go crazy. I got to get out of here.
You're so right.
So right.
You're right.
You can't hand a credit card to a grizzly bear.
Nope. They will not maul your face.
They will not respond to that.
No.
It doesn't matter how many rewards points you have. You just can't hand your credit card to a grizzly bear.
Nope.
You know, this is actually a perfect segue into my other little alarm, which I know I said to only do one, but I'm just going to throw this one out.
Okay.
This is recent. I came across an article today in The Guardian saying that authorities catch 500-pound alligator believed to have eaten Louisiana man. Okay?
Just Louisiana man.
Yes. So a 12-foot, and this goes to what you're saying, Clayton, chaos. Just this has to do with the hurricane that recently hit. A 12-foot-long, 504-pound alligator believed to have attacked and killed a 71-year-old Louisiana man in Hurricane Ida's aftermath was captured with what appeared to be human remains in its stomach. Timothy Satterley Sr. vanished on the 30th of August while checking on the contents of a shed at his home in Slidell, Louisiana, as floodwaters engulfed the area. This is scary. This is really scary and sad. After his wife heard a splash, she discovered her husband being gripped in a death roll by a huge alligator.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what I would do if I looked out my backyard and I saw Chris fighting with an alligator. By the time she could intervene, the beast had already ripped off Satterlee's arm and rendered him unconscious. So she pulled him to the steps of their home, and with neither her phone nor 911 working, in a desperate move, she climbed into a small boat in search for help. Okay.
So she's also
an older woman. He's 71 and this is her husband. Right. It must have been hard to pull him to safety. So it goes on. But when deputies finally arrived, Satterlee wasn't there anymore. The man wasn't there anymore where she left him.
No, we know where he was.
Mm-hmm.
She just never thought in her wildest nightmares that she would get back and he'd be gone. Satterlee's disappearance set off a 2-week search that ended on Monday after an alligator was caught in a trap near where Satterlee had gone missing, the Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office said. Agents euthanized and cut the alligator where they discovered the upper parts of a human body.
Mm. Wow.
So this definitely happened.
Your little larb is just a 500-pound alligator.
Or just living in an area where there is tons of alligators and it frequently floods.
Well, what made me think about this, Clayton, was that the idea of civility / absolute chaos. So one day everything's fine, right? There's they're living in a community. They have a house. I'm sure there are alligators, but everything is under control. But then suddenly a hurricane hits. You can't control that. Mm-hmm. You can't control where the eye of the hurricane is going. All of a sudden there's floods. Your house is underwater. Perhaps you survived, but there is extensive damage. And all of a sudden there's 500-pound alligators eating your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one day from one day to the next.
Yeah, there's no technology. I mean, I guess you could, but we're doing these, what are they called? To prevent flood water around Louisiana, New Orleans. They're called levees.
Oh, the levees.
You can
do
stuff like that to, you know, hopefully mitigate how much water gets in, but the water's going to get in. These things, like, I mean, when we're talking about natural disaster and Mother Earth, like, she going to do what she going to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much we can do.
That's right.
So just for the record, this really struck me. The Satterlee's home is not far from an area frequented by tourists who visit for swamp tours, promising sightings of alligators and other wildlife. Alligators do not usually attack humans unless the food they tend to have stashed has been displaced, as can occur during major storms.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I'm just a little freaked out by that. I mean, we don't have alligators here in California. I come from Florida. Maybe my fear of alligators is a little bit more than other people. You know, they might not be thinking of alligators all the time, but we, you know, saw alligators. There's a thing called Alligator Alley in Florida. If you're from there, you know, it's just like literally a highway with alligators to the side of it. And so... So, okay, fine. We don't have alligators in California, but we have bears and mountain lions and other things to be scared about.
I'm just in my mind picturing a sort of combo of all of these little alarms where I'm at the Amundsen in my mind. Okay, we're at the theater.
We're always at the theater with Chris.
Scant audience at a kitchen sink drama. Okay, so there's only like
no one's going.
Yeah, it's only like 10 people in the crowd, right? And an earthquake hits, right? And then the flood waters start to rise, and it's obviously algae poisoned fucking flood waters.
No.
And then the 500-pound alligators start to swim around in the waters, and the poor theater goers and the actors. Who I'm most concerned about.
Poor actors.
I guess that's why movies like Sharknado exist, because I guess it's possible.
I think we just came up with the next at-home video on demand movie, because no one's going to the theater for it.
It's all terrible. We can't. It can't be a play. It has to be
a movie. It has to be an on demand
You know, they came out, they just came out with the new iPhone, and I guess it has a really great camera with white, so we could shoot this ourselves. And
we should have been shooting this whole time.
It's true.
And well, okay, so we are going to put a poll up on our Instagram. Check it out. And let us know which alarm set you off the most.
Yeah, which is the most alarming to you? And just to refresh, want to go over them again. I guess Clayton's is the big one, the California earthquake.
Yes.
Not just the big, more specifically, like, where are you going to be? And like, does it matter how much you've prepared?
Doesn't matter. That's scary.
Yeah, big one, preparation.
Chris's mini alarm is the death of theater. Will the show go on?
Will the show must go on?
mine is, a little bit like Clayton's, could you be like this family that went missing and then died? It's so sad.
Well, it's also more about, I think, drinkable water.
Yeah, potable water sources. Yeah, water. And then the fourth one is, of course, will you be eaten by an alligator?
It's a 500-pound alligator in the room.
And it can happen. And these are also sad. So, Clayton, before we go, is there anything, any housekeeping stuff we want to take care of? How are we doing on reviews and ratings over in our Apple podcast?
The ratings are good, but we need some fresh reviews. We've had a couple back-to-back mailbags, so I feel like we've read like the most recent, and I don't want to read old ones that you guys have already read. So
we need fresh ones.
We need some fresh thoughts. Tell me how I'm doing. You can critique me. It's fine.
Yeah. Post about Clayton.
Talk shit about Clayton in the review.
No, say nice. We want five-star reviews. We really do, because they really help get visibility. And, we're just trying to make a million episodes here. Our ask is not that. Is it really that big of an ask? Yeah, I don't think so.
A million? Come on. Mm-mm.
No. So, check out our poll and stay tuned, because next week we are going to be covering the death of Quibi.
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.